to two passages of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 10. Again, reading in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, Paul says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." In both of these passages, there is a call that goes forth to those who have made a profession of salvation to do something of extreme importance. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, Paul says, "Examine yourselves." The purpose of this examination is whether ye be in the faith. The word "examine" means to carefully look at, to carefully look into. It means to scrutinize, means to investigate, to inspect, to test by questioning. The purpose, again, of this examination is whether ye be in the faith. Because you either are or you're not. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, we read, "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure." In this verse, the call goes forth to those who profess to be saved, to be sure, to be certain, to be absolutely sure that you're saved, to be absolutely certain that you know the Lord, to be fully persuaded that you are saved. It is also stated here that we are to give diligence into this matter. The word "diligence" means constant, careful, steady, persevering, painstaking effort to make sure that you're saved. These two verses reveal the utter importance of this matter. Be sure, be certain of your own salvation. Now, I have, through the years, preached upon this subject, and every single time, without exception, there are people that go away angry. They will say, "You are trying to get me to doubt my salvation," and I don't appreciate that. I am not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. What I'm trying to do is to make sure you're sure of your salvation. And this is a matter of extreme importance. Every individual here is either saved or unsaved. There's nothing in between. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. You're either with Christ or you are without Christ. You are either a believer or you are an unbeliever. You are either converted or you are unconverted. The person sitting beside you, the person sitting in front of you, the person sitting behind you is either saved or unsaved. They are either on their way to heaven or on their way to hell. In other words, you have either been saved or you never have been. There's nothing in between. There's no middle ground. There was a specific time and a specific place in your life when the Lord saved your soul, or there never has been a specific time and place when the Lord saved your soul. It's one or the other. There are those here today who have never professed salvation. You never have claimed to be saved. And there are those here who have professed and testified that they are saved. It's to these that have professed salvation that we want to speak to this morning. Because those, that is the group that our text verses are addressed to. It is those who have professed to be saved that Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. It is those who profess to be saved that Peter says to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So the subject of the message this morning is simply, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you certain? Are you sure that you're saved? It's not my purpose in this message to question your salvation. That's not my purpose right now. My purpose is to simply ask you the question, are you saved? And are you certain? Are you sure? Again, I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. But I sure would like you to go from here knowing one way or the other, whether you are or aren't. So what is meant by being saved? Salvation in the Scriptures is described under a number of emblems and figures, which gives us a very accurate description of salvation. The psalmist describes it in Psalm 40 and verse 2 as being brought up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and sat upon a rock. Every unsaved sinner is in a horrible or horrific pit, a cistern or dungeon, and miry clay from which they cannot escape. All of this speaks of the depth of despair, the danger, and the defilement of the unsaved sinner's condition. Now, salvation is when the Lord reaches down and brings you up out of that condition and sets your feet upon a rock and establishes your ways. And he goes on to say, and put a new song in their mouth. That's what it means to be saved. Ezekiel refers to salvation as a taking away the stony heart and giving a heart of flesh. It's a heart transplant. He goes on to describe it as giving a new heart and putting within us a new spirit. John describes salvation in John chapter 1 and verse 13 as being born of God. And in John chapter 3, he describes it as being born again and born of the Spirit. That's salvation. Peter describes salvation in Acts 3 and verse 19, preaching. He says it is repenting and being converted. You cannot be saved without repenting and being converted. And being converted simply means that you turn from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Salvation is a repentance and a converting. Are you saved? The epistle to the Romans describes it in Romans 6 and verse 13 as being alive from the dead. It is to be made alive. The second epistle to the Corinthians calls it in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, being a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 speaks of it as a resurrection together with Christ. And as sitting with Christ in the heavenlies. In Colossians, it is spoken of as being risen with Christ. In Colossians 3 and verse 1. Also, it is described as being delivered from the power of darkness in the book of Colossians. But not only a deliverance from darkness, but also a transfer to the kingdom of Christ. In Colossians 1, verse 13. And in the first epistle of Peter, it is spoken of as being called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And darkness all through Scripture represents sin, it represents evil, it represents wickedness, corruption, error, ignorance, sorrow, misery, danger, that which is satanic, and that which is death. And Paul tells us in Colossians that salvation is being taken out of the darkness and transferred into the light. That's salvation. We see also that salvation is described in Peter as being a partaker of the divine nature. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. The first epistle of John speaks of being saved as passing from death unto life. 1 John 3, verse 14. All of these expressions, all of these illustrations come to the same thing in the end. They all declare the same truth. They're just viewed from different sides of the same truth. They describe salvation. And they describe salvation as a great radical change that has taken place. A radical change that has taken place in the heart. A radical change and a thorough alteration. A thorough transformation of the inner man. And it speaks of it as a participation in the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. They are again the description of the saving of a soul. Has there been a time, has there been a place in your life when you personally experienced these things? When you can't experience these things and not know it. You can't be brought up out of the miry clay and not know it. You can't be raised from the dead and not know it. The question is, has there been a time? Has there been a place? And this is not something that you grow into or grow out of. I didn't grow out of the pit. I didn't evolve out of the miry clay. The Lord reached down and brought me up out of the pit and out of the miry clay. Salvation is not something that you evolve into. There has to be a time, there has to be a place in which you experience personally these things. That's salvation. Has there ever been a time and a place where you have experienced personally the burden and the weight of sin being lifted off from you? Do you know what that means? Do you know what it means to have the burden and the weight of sin lifted from off of yourself? Do you know what it is to have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you know what that is? Do you know what it means? Have you personally experienced that? Do you know what it is to have peace with God? Do you know what that is? Do you know what it is to be clothed in His righteousness? Again, I ask you, has there been a time, has there been a place when you have experienced these things? Are you saved? I'm not asking you today if you've heard of others that have experienced these things. I'm not asking you if you know about these things because you've sat in church. I'm asking you, have you personally experienced these things in your life? So there is a call in our text to make sure of salvation. We've seen what salvation is. Now let's make sure. Salvation is something that we need to be certain of. It is something that we need to be sure of. And our text verse declares that every individual who professes to be saved is to examine themselves whether they be in the faith. They are to put forth diligence in making sure of their salvation. I would encourage you to do this because of the shortness of time. You need to be sure because you do not know how much time you have. You need to be sure because you do not know when it will be eternally too late for you. So you need to be sure. You need to be certain. You need to be sure and certain because of the nearness of eternity. No matter what age you are today, eternity is very near. Eternity is very, very near for every single one of us. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, eternity is near. And because of the nearness of eternity, you need to be sure. You need to be certain. Because of the uncertainty of life, you need to be certain. At any time, at any moment, your life could end in this earth. The uncertainty of life. And you need to be sure because of the reality of judgment. God's judgment is real. God's wrath is real. God's condemnation is real. God's salvation is real. You need to be certain. You need to be certain because of the reality of judgment. Be absolutely certain that you are saved. Make sure of that. Do you know for sure that you have been brought out of the depths of despair? That you have been brought from the danger and the defilement of sin? That you have been brought up out of evil, wickedness, and corruption, and guilt? Do you know for sure? Do you know for sure that you've been delivered and rescued and released and set free from death? Has there been a time, has there been a place when you were rescued from death? When you were released from condemnation? When you were released from the alienation and from the enmity and from the bondage of sin? Has there been a time, has there been a place when you were set free from spiritual bankruptcy? Do you know for sure? Are you absolutely certain that you've been born of God? That there was a time and there was a place in which God gave you a new heart. And God brought you from death unto life. Do you know that for certain today? Are you absolutely sure that there's been a time, there's been a place in which you were made alive by God? That you were made a new creature? Was there a time and place in your life in which you were made a new creature and all things passed away? And you began to think differently, and you began to look at things differently, and you began to feel differently? Are you certain? Are you sure? Be sure that you have been raised with Christ. Be sure that you're saved, because your eternity depends upon it. All eternity depends upon this issue. Where you spend eternity depends upon this. Be sure. Because if you are not saved, you will die in your sins without pardon if you remain in that condition. And you will receive judgment without mercy. You say, well, I believe that God is a merciful God. So do I. That's why I stand before you today as a child of God. But I'm telling you, if you leave this life without Jesus Christ, if you leave this life without knowing the Lord as your Savior, there is judgment without mercy. It's too late. Again, I ask you, have you been born again? Have you been made a new creature? Has there been a time and place in your life where you felt the weight, you felt the burden of your sins, you felt the filth of your sins, and you turned to the Lord and you repented of those sins, turning from them to Christ? This is more than, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me. This is more than that. Are you looking completely to Christ for your salvation? Are you looking today completely to Christ for your eternity? Or are there some other things that you're holding on to? Because those that are saved are looking completely to Christ. Those that are saved love Jesus Christ. So I ask you today, do you love Him? Those who are saved want to serve Christ. Do you want to serve Him? Those that are saved hate sin. And they fight against sin. They struggle against it. They battle with it. Do you hate sin? Those who are saved long for holiness. Do you long for holiness? Those that are saved have come up out from the world. Have you? Those that are saved delight in the Word of God. Do you? Do you love the Lord's people? 1 John says over and over and over again, if we're born again, we'll love those that are begotten. Do you love the Lord's people? Do you love being with the Lord's people? Do you seek their company or do you seek the world's company? Are you saved? Are you vile in your own eyes? Willing to take the lowest place? You see, that's a characteristic of a child of God. Don't turn away from these questions. Don't be offended by these questions. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you sure? Are you absolutely certain? You say, well, I'm a member of this church. That's not what I asked you. Are you saved? I can almost assure you that there are members, that there are those who are on the rolls of Home Baptist Church that have never been saved. I can almost assure you that there are those who have died with their names on the rolls of Home Baptist Church who are in hell right now. So it's not a matter of I'm a member and I've been a member for X amount of years. But are you saved? Are you sure? You say, well, I'm an officer in the church. Doesn't matter. They're two different issues. Pastor can stand up and preach Sunday after Sunday and die and go to hell. And will. Unless he's saved. People can teach Sunday school class and die and go to hell. People can play the instruments. People can lead the singing. They can hold an office and die and go to hell. The question today is not what position you hold in the church. The question is, are you saved? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? You say, well, I've attended this church since I was a child. I've been raised in this church. You see, that's not what I'm asking you today. Are you saved? Because I assure you, there are those who have attended since they were a child. There are those who have been raised in the church, but they're not saved. They've heard about salvation, and they even agree with it. They're not saved. I'm not asking you today if you disagree or if you agree with God's way of salvation, but are you saved? There are lost people who agree with God's way of salvation, but that doesn't save them. It all comes down to, has there been a time? Has there been a place when I was saved? I thank God for everyone who is raised in the Lord's church. But there is a danger. There is a danger. The danger is that you can just, in your mind, this is the way it's always been. Basically, I was born saved. As far as I've known, I've been saved. As far as I can remember. And you just kind of grow into it. You just kind of grow into the habit. But that's not salvation. Are you saved? Well, my mom and dad saved. That's not the question. My mom and dad taught me right and wrong. That's not the question. I am a person of morality. That's not the question. Are you saved? And again, I thank God. I'm thankful for lost people that have morals. I thank the Lord. I wish more of them did. But that won't save your soul. You may, again, have been raised in the church, but are you saved? I'm not asking you today if you've ever repeated a prayer. Was there a time and was there a place in your life that you realized, I'm a guilty, vile, wretched, wicked sinner before God. And as such, I deserve the wrath of God. And you fled. You fled to God for refuge. You fled to Christ, leaving your sins behind. And that day you took Christ as your confidence, as your only confidence. That day, the Word of God became your guide. And now you love Christ. In fact, ever since that day, you love Him more every day. And now you desire to live and serve Him. Has there been such a time? Are you saved? Are you willing to diligently examine your salvation? The devil has told me many times that I'm not saved, causing me to examine, causing me to go back. I'm not afraid to go back. I'm not afraid to go back and examine that matter, because I know. I know. Have you ever had a heartfelt reception of the gospel? Are you willing to diligently examine the matter? Another dangerous thing, and I'm not saying, well, another dangerous thing is when there's a multitude of people that make a profession at the same time. There's a danger. I'm not saying that if there were several people saved the day you were saved that you're lost. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a tendency in the hearts and minds of men and women. Well, I'm going to do that too. But salvation has never taken place. Never has. There are some who profess to be saved that we are really concerned and even fearful for. And it's to those that we call upon to especially give diligent examination into this matter. Are you saved? Those that profess to be saved but live as if time were more important than eternity. But live as if the body were more important than the soul. I ask you today, I'm not saying you're not, but I'm just asking you, are you saved? Are you certain? Are you absolutely sure? Are you willing to make diligent search into this matter. You that profess to be saved but do not consider sin as your enemy, nor the Lord Jesus Christ as your friend, are you saved? Has there been a time and a place when you knew that you were saved? Again, I'm not saying you're not. But are you? You that profess to be saved but are very self-satisfied and content with a mediocre spiritual life, are you saved? Are you absolutely certain? Are you absolutely sure? You that profess to be saved but plunge into the world week after week without shame, are you saved? You that profess to be saved and you hear about how Christ came and died for your sins, hear the preaching of God's word and you go away unmoved all the time, are you saved? Are you sure? Are you certain? Those who profess to be saved that have a place in their heart for everything but God. They have room for business, they have room for pleasures, they have room for the world, but like the inn at Bethlehem, they have no room for Him. Are you saved? Do you know for certain? Are you sure that you're saved? Those who hear the preaching of the word, but there's no movement of the heart, there's no going forward spiritually, are you saved? Do you know for certain? You that profess to be saved but dwell so near, live so near to the borders that it's hard to tell which side you're on. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Again, I've asked many people. In talking with them, I'll just come out and say, are you saved? Talking about folks who come with their problems, are you saved? A lot of people get angry. But I don't believe any child of God will ever get angry when someone asks them, are you saved? I'm not asking out of doubt necessarily. I'm asking out of concern. Are you saved? Are you sure? You that have professed to be saved, but you've gone back into the world, and I realize it. We can all do that. But you've gone back into the world. Your convictions are withering away. And the preaching of God's word wearies you. It's hard for you to stand. And the company of God's children bothers you. You're uncomfortable in the company of God's children. Are you His child? Are you saved? Again, I ask you, are you willing to make diligent examination into this matter? Because if there ever was anything you needed to be sure about, it's this. You need to know for certain. You and I that have a time, place, we can remember. We can remember when the Lord saved our soul. Oh, how we ought to rejoice. Oh, how we ought to thank God. Every single day. I'm saved. I just love the sound of that word. Saved. And I love to say, I am saved. I'm saved. We need to make sure. We need to examine the matter diligently. If you're here today and you're not saved, as long as you have breath, there's hope. But Jesus Christ is the only one who can save your soul. You know, I had someone tell me once, and said, Brother Dan, I'm lost. But I've been raised in church, and I would be ashamed to be saved. That is, I'd be ashamed to say that I'm not after all these years. No need to be ashamed. The worst thing is to leave this life unsaved. Well, what will people think? I wouldn't worry about it. That would be my least concern. Preachers get saved. Deacons get saved. Sunday school teachers. It happens all the time. We just preached a meeting a couple months ago in Clarksville, and they said the most spiritual member of the church was saved that week. It happens. If you're here and lost today, I want you to know that you can be saved. That you can be saved today, but there's only one way. And that's the Lord's way. That's through Jesus Christ. So I ask you today, are you saved? Are you certain? Let's all stand, Brother Larry.